Matthew chapter 5, and we are also going to turn to Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 2, although I think I'll have us look at a few extra verses there. As well, we'll look at Isaiah 61, and actually we'll go to Isaiah 61 first, and then Isaiah 40. Matthew 5, verse 4, kind of being our starting point for this evening. Of course, we are in the Beatitudes, and again, this is a countercultural expression of being in the kingdom of heaven, citizens of the kingdom, and we have been through these Beatitudes. If you want to hear more about this verse, I'm going to follow the connection of a minister I was blessed by this week that I'd like to pass on and share with you, so I won't get into it as closely as I would if we were preaching through Matthew as we did before. But let's return here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, that word mourn, notice children, M-O-U-R-N, is not like mourn, like mourning. But it is the idea of crying and being sad and sorry. So again, this sounds odd. The world doesn't want us to feel sorry. The world certainly doesn't want us to acknowledge guilt or have any idea of the feelings of guilt. But actually, we who are willing to express our guilt are blessed. Why? Because the process will lead to us being comforted. And I want to take you with me in a moment to see some connections with it. I needed some more time, as you know. I needed some more time. I was planning on coming back to Philippians this evening. I ended up finding it was a week with a number of things I wasn't expecting, along with things I was expecting. So when I was reading a devotion this week, I was really blessed, and I thought, I'm going to jot that down. And the next time I need to do a thematic sermon, I'm going to use that. And it turns out it'll be right now instead of a few weeks from now, I was hoping. Matthew 5, verse 4 was being shared about by J. Montgomery Boyce in his Think and Act Biblically Daily Devotional that I get on my phone through my emails on the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. And it was such a blessing to read, one of those things, why didn't I see that before? I'm not sure that I did comment on this verse in the original sermon on here, but for some reason it jumped out at me more, and I'd like to share his thoughts with you about it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I want to think for a moment as we continue about the idea of a presidential pardon. You know, it seems like it always is towards the end of the presidency. I don't know if that's required. But a presidential pardon, the president has certain authority given to him to select certain people, and they usually do get letters and many petitions to try to seek a pardon, often people on behalf of others, people in prison, people in different situations. And the president may select certain people and offer pardon. It's called a presidential pardon. He has the authority to do it, where a person who is guilty of a crime, no doubt about it, the person's guilty, could be already serving the punishment in part. The person's guilty. That person accepts responsibility. Just as we sang in Psalm 32, he says, I'm not going to hide my sins. I'm not going to try to cover them. I confess them before you. That person who is clearly guilty of a crime accepts responsibility for them and then asks for mercy. That is, asks to not get what they deserve from the only person who can grant that mercy. The punishment fits the crime, but the president has executive clemency. That is, he has the authority and the power to release the person from paying their punishment for their crime. The president can simply say, "You are guilty, but I will not require you to pay the punishment. I pardon you." And it's as if you're not guilty. You can leave prison, or you cannot go to prison, depending on the case that may be. I want to think about that related to Matthew 5, verse 4, and the scriptures will connect to it tonight. What an amazing experience. Imagine if you're the person who's been in prison or about to go to prison, and your only hope is to ask for pardon. You really can't pay off the crime yourself, or if you do, it'll be you know, something you really don't want to have to face, if you could even face it, if it's, let's say it's a life sentence. And you can't argue that you didn't do the crime or that you're not guilty. The only thing you really have as an opportunity is to ask for pardon, to ask for mercy. And imagine you're given it. You're given pardon for sin that you know you've done, everyone knows you've done, and you're allowed to be free. You're forgiven. What a blessed thing. Imagine if you're family members of such a person, how much you would rejoice and thank God for this thing. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see, those who cry over their sins will be happy because only they will be comforted with assurance. I'll give you that as the main idea of Matthew 5, verse 4. Those who cry over their sins will be happy because only they will be comforted with assurance. Our punishment for sin is, as you know, eternal death. The wages of sin is death. And we're all sinners, come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. But those scriptures also tell us, verse 24 in Romans 3, the gift of God is justification and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For those who admit they are sinners, for those who grieve over their sins and ask God to save them from hellfire through Jesus, they can be pardoned. But you see, as you know, many are not willing to do that. Many are not willing to admit they're sinners. Many are not willing to admit that they need to be forgiven, that they have real guilt before God. So their consciences continue to suffer, and they will agonize in eternal hell. But some do mourn over their sins. Thus they turn to Jesus for forgiveness, and thus, quote, Jesus says, they shall be comforted. Now, that Greek word for comforted, that verb, is in noun form about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same Greek root word, is for comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the comforter. He gives us one of his fruits, is peace, as he gives us peace with God. John 16, verses 5 to 7, Jesus says, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, the comforter, I will send him unto you. The message, the sermon message for that text before when we went through the Beatitudes, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. The message was, joy cometh to the morning. I'm playing off of the Psalms, joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh to the morning, M-O-U-R-N. Joy comes to those who mourn over their sins, who don't try to pretend they're not there, who don't grieve, who do grieve over them and are sorry for them and wish to be forgiven. Thus they can be forgiven, because that's where it starts. That's what turns us to Christ. Our catechism says that repentance is, among other things, hatred and grief over our sins, but also turning to God for mercy in Christ. And it's amazing grace that brings astonishing peace with God. It's incredibly comforting to be pardoned from the penalty that is due to you for your sins, especially when you know it's eternal hell and you'd never, ever be done paying it. But you have it in Jesus. So you might keep this marked, the second beatitude, Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But turn back with me to Isaiah 61 before we make our way back to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 2. And this again, beloved, is what we saw referenced by Jesus in Matthew 11 this evening to prove that he is the Messiah. Matthew 11, 61, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3, actually. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Notice that last part, to comfort all that mourn. And this is Christ speaking in this prophecy. He says so in Matthew 11. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now again, this is the prophecy about the Messiah. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, it's very clearly identified to be about Christ, this prophecy. But again, in Matthew 11, verse 5, we see that Jesus points it out as well. This is about him. And what does he bring? He brings comfort. Now, what really got me wanting to think about this with you tonight is where J. Montgomery Boyce profoundly connects Matthew 5, verse 4. How is it that we're comforted? Turn with me now to Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 40. Why is it that if we mourn and we're sorry over our sins, how is it that we're comforted to mourn? Isaiah 40, 1 and 2. You might be pretty familiar with this in a cursory way. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Notice twice, comfort. I'll say it again, comfort my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, before we continue, I want you to see what comes next, because it's, you know, Jesus answers John the Baptist's disciples' questions, are you the Messiah? And he quotes Isaiah 61, but he could have also quoted Isaiah 40 here, because notice the next verses are also about John the Baptist preparing the way for the Messiah. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So it's Jesus, you see, being spoken of here again. He's the one that brings comfort to his people, because he's the one John the Baptist prepared the way for, that we would all be ready to receive him in repentance. You remember John the Baptist had a baptism of repentance. He was calling upon people to repent and to be ready to receive forgiveness from Jesus with a repentant heart. So why are God's people to be comforted? How are they to be doubly comforted here? Because the scripture says their sins have been doubly paid for. Their iniquity is pardoned. Look at that in verse 2. Her iniquity is pardoned. How can one be comforted for mourning? Because they're comforted by forgiveness. They are pardoned. They are not required to pay the penalty for their sins when they mourn over them and turn to God through Jesus to have them forgiven. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 2, teaches us that because the sins of God's people have been doubly paid for, the rebuke upon them to produce remorse can be turned into words of comfort. They had been displaced in discipline due to rebellion. That's the context here, remember, the major prophets especially. They've been sent away. They've been taken over by foreign lands and brought there. They have been severely punished by God as a people because of their sins that they would refuse to repent of. They insisted on continual rebellion instead. But when they're at the place of repentance and they've gone through a lot temporally to take care of that and discipline them, and they're now in a place of remorse, they can be restored. They can now be comforted because they are now humble. And they're now sorry for their sins, whereas before they were not. And because they're sorry now for their sins, they can be pardoned and know that their sins are paid for. And so there's comfort. Notice he says, my people. Also speaks of them as Jerusalem. That is God's people in Christ. And remember in Revelation, very regularly, they are called, the church is called the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. So God's speaking about his people again, his covenant people. And he will discipline them. He will drive them to their knees in repentance, mourning and crying over their sins and crying out for mercy. And when they do and they're ready to receive mercy, they will have mercy and they will be comforted. So, beloved, let me ask you these questions. Do you mourn over your sins? Do you hate your sin? Do you cry out to God because of your breaking his law? Do you hate it? Do you hate how you show hatred to God? Because if love is keeping his commandments, then breaking his commandments is hatred. Do you cry out to him for mercy? Do you desire his pardon? Do you recognize you cannot pay your penalty other than forever in hell and it'll never pay it off? Instead, do you come to Christ? Because then you can have and experience comfort. Sins, unrepentant sins, and sin not pardoned by Christ will never allow a person to have peace and will never allow a person to have comfort. That's why they'll seek it in all other kinds of ways. And it only makes it worse. But by pardon of God through Christ and application of it to your souls by the Holy Spirit, you have comfort. You have peace. That's why in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, we sang tonight a parallel to Psalm 51. David is marveling over the fact that he's guilty of adultery and murder. And yet he can have pardon for his sins. He speaks of this wonderful blessing of comfort to be pardoned for sins. He's repenting over adultery and murder, and he proclaims, knowing he's forgiven by God through Christ, he says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." How blessed it is to have my transgressions forgiven. How blessed it is to have my sins covered. How blessed it is not to have God impute my iniquity to me, meaning to make me pay up, to require the penalty for the sin. How blessed am I not to have to face that? And so Paul quotes these verses, and he applies these verses in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, saying, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Because he has imputed the sins and their guilt to Jesus on the cross in your place. And he's imputed Christ's righteousness to you, as Paul applies Psalm 32. Christian, God has credited you with Christ's perfect righteous life and his merit to go to heaven. May you wonder in God's wonderful salvation work that lets you, instead of being eternally damned in hell, have everlasting life in heaven and that comfort now. Marvel over God's mercy in Christ with Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. What other God pardons iniquity, he says? What other God passes over transgression? But remember, that Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb, the blood of the lamb in Exodus, the spirit that would have brought death passes over instead and doesn't bring death. So the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, pardons us of our sin. The spirit of death that should condemn us passes over us. Be comforted by that, beloved. Don't we need to be comforted, God's people, by this reminder? God has thrown your sins behind his back and into the depths of the sea. He has separated them from you as far as the east is from the west. By stretching Christ's hands out on the cross and nailing your guilt there to pay your punishment and grant you the greatest pardon imaginable. Your debts have really been paid in full. See, that's the glory and beauty of this pardon. It's not that your sins will just not be paid for, that there won't be justice. God is a just God. He has to punish sin. And so to give you great assurance and comfort, you are pardoned because your penalty has actually been paid by Christ. Paid in full. And so your guilt does not linger out there over you. It's just not paid by you. And so you can be pardoned of your sin. And that is a blessed hope. Jesus has infinitely paid for your sins, so you are pardoned of them. He has set you free indeed, including as you repent, by granting you freedom from a guilty conscience to serve the living God. Not only freedom without, but freedom within. You have the comforting message that Jesus has pardoned you of your sins. But that's meant to sink deep inside, beloved, and give you comfort in your heart to forgive yourself of your sins and to have peace from the Prince of Peace, who gives you his princely clemency. It is free to you, this mercy, this pardon, but it cost Christ his life on the cross. Your Christian clemency is especially a blessing when you know justice for you has been paid in full. Be comforted by that, God's people. Be comforted. Oh, beloved, know the blessedness of pardon. And that's the message for you this evening. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. How greatly blessed is the man who has his sins freely pardoned. What comfort for us. What blessedness. And without that, beloved, what else could you possibly have? Nothing. But with Christ, we have everything because we've been pardoned. May you be comforted with that thought this evening. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, thank you for pardoning us of our sins. Thank you for forgiving us, O Lord. Thank you for not treating us as our sins deserved. Thank you for making us just as if we never sinned. Because Jesus has paid for our sins in full so that you can freely pardon us, for there is nothing left to pay. We can walk away free. Free in our conscience as well. Nothing to trouble us. And Lord, whatever sins we wrestle with and remain unconfessed, or continue to trouble our conscience, let us come before you, Lord, and cry and mourn over them, and in the mercy of Christ, apprehending it, come to God and enjoy comfort of pardon, the assurance of such pardon. For the devil will hold us down with guilt in the sense of no freedom from it. But the Son has set us free indeed by his paying our penalty on the cross so that the Father pronounces pardon over us. And we do thank you for this comfort. May it comfort us all our lives. Holy Spirit, may you bless us with the fruit of peace by this comforting gospel to us. And let us be eager to bring it to others who would mourn over their sin and could be comforted by you through Christ, in whom we pray, and all your people said, Amen.